Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Nothing like coming right on this show and getting a nurse's update from my kid's school.
But he's okay.
Yes. He's 12. He's always okay. He's always going to be okay. Good morning. I have Michael here crying. He said he was reaching for something on the ground and hurt something in his knee. I have ice on it now, and I'm having him rest for a little while. Am I okay to give him an Advil to help with the pain? I said, yes, please. Mm-hmm. Thanks. He said he can put weight on it. Well, thank God for that.
Were you a big school nurse attendee as a kid?
Hell no.
No? I had a bad run.
My son ought to have his mail sent there.
In fourth and fifth grade, I spent a lot of time there.
I hate to be cold, but this is on the heels of a emotional pitching performance last night, where he was so mad that he cried. So I'm I'm not a big crying fan.
Is it true that there is no crying in baseball?
Well, no, there's not. But you can't tell that to 12-year-olds. Yeah, at that age, it's kind of all over the place. But welcome to the show. And that's after I come in, and every day is a new adventure when you're your own engineer.
Maybe the nurse was just playing an April Fool's joke.
It could be. And now, a good chance, Mike. That's a good chance.
That'd be a good chance for a pink slip, wouldn't it? Yeah. That would be a really, really good idea. Hey, that's funny. I will give
April Fool's!
Funny. April Fool's jokes are funny.
My wife gets credit. My mom, God rest her loving soul, was a she loved it.
And really?
She rarely missed it. She rarely missed
that
it. And it was
seems
her way.
Out of character for her.
You know what? I think you didn't know her that well, but you're very astute by saying that because, yeah, I think she was, it was, I don't know if it's out of character, but she had a little mischievous side and she loved it because she had. The subjects were her own children.
Do you remember, when you think of that, what is the one prank, April Fool's joke that comes to mind?
I don't remember because there were multi, and they were all minimal like Carla did today. So Carla, the alarm set for 6 a.m., and I go, I went right till 6, which is really good for me when I can do that, when I can sleep all the way till 6. Some people saying that, college students would say, what? But I will say that it's really cool to be able to do that.
And then,
right out of that deep sleep, and I'm poking around, and I've got to get my kid up because he's got to do his, his thing. His entrepreneurial thing,
and
buy low, sell high.
Got to get all that done before he gets to the nurse.
You got to do that before he gets to the nurse. School being the lowest priority. This is the end of the year, folks. Josh knows what I'm talking about. It's the end of the year. It's the wind down. So Carla
says... Well, Mike,
says,
I live with two teachers now. I feel it too because they come home and they're weary.
Yeah, it's they're ready for the end. And so I get this sleepy voice from my wife. He's like, I'm really sorry, but be careful going out there. The dogs had some sort of accident, and it looked like they had diarrhea. I didn't do it in the middle of the night. I'm so sorry. I'm like, all right, honey, and I'm like, that's cool. And I go, and just when I get to the door, she goes, April Fool's. I said, oh, you are good. Did you get the update on the hypochondriac of the decade?
I want to make sure you got that.
I said it's okay to give him Advil.
Yeah.
And now, if you want to call and just,
I got it.
You do me a favor. If you speak to him, tell him to man the f*** up.
Language, please.
Just go drop the wheelchair off.
Yeah. It's a shame I did give away my walker. I would have sent it down.
Do we ever really know what somebody else is going through? Do we ever really, really know?
Have you ever walked a mile in another man's shoes?
And part of it is the age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a common thing with that age.
Yeah, but it's embarrassing.
He's probably sensitive.
The nurse is connected to the baseball team too, so I really want him to be
a baseball Annie.
She's got kids. She's got like 11 kids on a baseball team, one under the other. You know, varsity, junior varsity, middle school. She's a baseball person. So I'm embarrassed when my kid. I want my kid to be tough guy in front of her. You know?
Do you think this is related at all to last night's performance? Like he might be hypersensitive today based on his pitching last night.
Here's his pitching last night. All right. So, and thank you for. I don't like to talk about my golf. But I will talk, but I can't help myself when I want to talk about my kid's baseball. So okay. He starts last night, gives up one run in the first inning, but by and large, looks pretty solid.
Okay.
Really better than I've seen him pitch. And then second inning, guy gets on and gets a couple of bad calls. And emotionally, he just comes apart at the seams.
Hmm.
And they ended up losing like 4-3. But he only pitched two innings. They took him out after the second inning. And it's just like he's got the talent to do it. And I'm like, don't let them, don't let everything get to you. What are you chuckling at?
No. That's the mental part of baseball that affects especially pitchers all the way up to the majors.
Especially 12-year-old pitchers. You want to mess up a 12-year-old pitcher? Get a man on base and have them dance on the base.
Yes.
Have him just go like this.
Oh.
And they are incapable physically of ignoring the batter's on base, which Mike, they have to do as pitchers.
When I would coach third base and I get a player to third base, I would tell the player, run back, make as much movement as you can over here because you're probably going to get, if you bounce around here, you're going to get to steal home because he's going to wild, it's a wild pitch coming.
Right. Yeah. Bingo.
Are pitchers the most easily, is it the position where you can play the head games with the most easy?
You mean, can you mess with the pitcher the most?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Oh, I think so, based on last night. And okay. I was just like, but, two for three, and I was happy with that. And the only kid that hit off one of the best pitchers in the league, and I was really, really happy with that. And he was cool by the end of the game, and he was chill. And it was just...
Did you have to challenge any of the pitches with the pitch robot?
Another thing that I yelled at him about. I yelled at him, you can't show up an umpire at any level.
No.
From 5 years old all the way through the majors. You can't look at the pitcher, Michael, and go like this. With that, I said, you're showing up the umpire. He's not going to give you a call the rest of the night.
Right.
That's the move I'm waiting for, though, is in Little League for the kids to tap the helmet. To be like, no, they can't challenge it, but to show the
umpire. Is that how they do it? Do they do this?
Just a little tap.
I haven't watched a lot of professional baseball lately, Josh, because it's an exercise in futility. Congratulations to the 1-4 Boston Suck Sox.
Well,
that
Red Sox.
Yeah, they should have known. Yeah. Hey, Craig Breslow.
Don't worry, Mike. We're just 2-2 because we also suck.
Okay, here's the thing. To the general manager of the Red Sox, Hey, Craig, boring Breslow. Hey, Craig, I was a player, but I now really am I'm a better guy in a suit and tie because that's what I'm more comfortable with because I was a suck player as well. Here's what I want to tell you, Craig. This is what happens, Craig, when you do dick in the off season. This is what you get. Mm-hmm. This is what you get when you don't keep your superstar and then you don't go out and get another superstar and you sit on your hands and you get second-tier players. I'm in a bit of a bitching mood today, so bear with
me.
You know, there would be less challenges if they had to pat their head and rub their stomach.
How is your voice today?
It's better.
Are you getting
it's better.
It is sounding better.
Yeah.
That's good. So it's what it is, and the only thing that by the way, he was fine on the way home. We had a very good drive home. Everything is cool. I think he's got talent. I certainly got talent more than his father, and I'd like to see him continue
certainly
to play
acting
baseball.
Talent.
He's well. No, he gets on his team. He does okay.
Good.
And I think he's not going backwards. He's going forwards, and I love being a part of it. And now it's up to a different level, and we'll see if he sticks with it and stays with it. And he's in a very, very competitive program in his school. So God knows.
I found the next baseball accessory for you to purchase for him.
Oh, cool. All right. He loved his leg
cheap.
Guard.
It's only $15. And
is
I
it
was
a Timu
impressed.
Thing or an American?
No,
thing?
It's American.
Great.
It is a wrap for your bat, like you would wrap a car, but you can get these cool wraps for your bats. And they're legal in all levels.
And like it you makes could it look wrap like you it around have a nice barrel, paint job on, the, yeah, barrel on the barrel of the bat?
On the barrel of the bat.
Can you see him? Does he have a walk-up song? Do they do that at that level?
Some of the teams do. Okay, and there seems to be, in one league, a generic, like, service you can use because sure. it's the same voice all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's the...
Now, yeah. batting fourth.
That's yes. that, there's a new app that does that where you can really? Type it all
of course
in
there
and
is.
It'll make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course there is. Why have
baseball,
a parent that might be
DJ,
able to do it?
I believe it's called.
Baseball DJ.
Baseball yeah,
there
DJ.
It is.
Yes.
Probably the one guy that had the initiative to do it. Probably making bank.
That's
right?
So weird. But yeah. it's so sad.
It is.
Baseball DJ.
It's what we are.
Hella.
It's what we are. So little Tommy can get his walk-up announcement. And
but can you imagine him being announced by baseball DJ? He takes to the batter's box and reveals a bat that says, Dermglow.
You have to get together with Carla. Did she get in touch
yeah,
with you yet?
Absolutely. We're having a prayer breakfast yeah. today.
All right,
yeah,
very
the
good.
Word, was, the word from yeah. Carla was, leave Mike out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank mm-hmm. you.
And you shall. And thank so you shall.
Oh, it's,
yeah,
it's
just give me something
ballpark.
To read. I'll read.
I'll be fine. Because you know why you can read so well? Because you're a baseball DJ.
I'm a baseball DJ.
It's actually called ballpark DJ.
That's no better.
Mike,
now,
have you shared?
Yeah,
have you shared what Michael's walk-up song is? Because the kids take some pride in choosing a song.
What it used to be, you mean? Because he did have one at one point that he was on a team that had walk-up songs. And he doesn't like it anymore. But he had The Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson.
That's good.
Nice
and hateful. Yeah,
it was nice and hateful. And now he thinks it's jive.
You know what? I played one season of Little League Ball.
No, you didn't.
I did. And my walk-up song was Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head by B.J. Thomas. April Fools!
No.
That's not true.
No, yours was had to be Annie, something from
Oh,
Annie.
Tomorrow?
The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow.
That was mine. Yes.
No, Rob's was Send in the Clowns.
No, mine was The Ladies Who Lunch.
You win. That's anything by Stritch.
Yeah, exactly. Stritch.
Elaine Stritch. Rob, do you know who Elaine Stritch is, Josh?
Of course not.
Okay, we can pause for this because this is what we do on our show. I'd like you to look up a photograph. See if we can get a photograph of Elaine Stritch.
Oh,
the Broadway diva.
And you Elaine know what?
Stritch, the boozy Broadway
hot, boozy
diva.
Breath of Elaine Stritch. And also, I give her credit. So few people have been so good looking for so long as Elaine Stritch.
She was like the definitive tough broad.
Oh,
right?
Very much so.
And then she'd do an interview. I don't care. There I am.
Oh, look at her.
That's
with
the
a cigarette.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I'm Elaine Stritch. Yeah, give me another dry martini.
This one's too wet. Yes, Salvador, this martini was much too wet.
By the way, my new favorite thing is when Josh gets a picture that the pictures are all labeled. That to me makes me very, very happy that it's that Elaine Stritch. So,
she was in a show called Two's Company.
Sure.
Was that connected to Three's Company?
There was Applause.
Yeah.
And isn't
Company?
There a video?
Wasn't she in Company?
Company. Yeah. Whatever it is, there
Here's
is a video.
To the ladies who lunch.
Lunch.
Everybody laugh.
Yeah.
She's like Lucille Ball without the sexy.
Okay, that's
and
enough.
Just a little sharp, Elaine. Just a little.
She, there is a. Rob and I are really going down Queen Lane here.
I enjoy this ride.
There is a video of a behind the scenes recording session in the 70s where they're making the Broadway cast album.
Album, yeah.
And it's got Elaine Stritch, I think maybe Bert Convy. Or all these 70s.
He always shows up somehow.
And 70s to me is like, 70s is smoky, boozy, dirty, unkempt,
also,
long hair, long unwashed hair.
Mike,
right?
Here is an asterisk and a addendum to the 70s. Is Stritch is going to be in a black turtleneck with black leggings. And I guarantee you, if you do a tight close-up, there's going to be some cigarette ash.
Yes, cigarette
somewhere
ash.
Somewhere on that.
They're
Here's
all smoking.
To the ladies. it is. Yeah. Ooh, lunch.
They're all smoking. They're all drinking. It was
that's, you know, Broadway.
And they all died in their 70s.
They did. You know,
early 70s. That so anyway.
At least Convy got win, lose, or draw in before.
I don't think it was Bert Convy. It was another, like,
Tony Roberts?
Vanilla. It might be Tony Roberts. These curly haired
the
guys.
Late Tony Roberts.
They're all late.
Yeah,
now.
I know. But remember, yeah, we learned this week that Convy was in the original cast of Fiddler.
Now, this is the Broadway dive that we're doing like that.
Just like we planned.
We did. Just like we said, let's talk about Broadway today.
Fonda.
I have to say that I do admire my son for getting up early. He's not getting up early to get something for himself. He's getting up early for his little buy low, sell high.
Well, then he's getting up for himself.
That is for himself.
But it's initiative to me. It shows.
But
it shows.
No. It's not like he's benefiting the Red Cross. What? He's doing why, it for saying, himself.
Why are you saying no? What?
Because you're acting like he's opening up this business to help the community.
Yeah. No, to help I'm himself. Not. I like the initiative. That
the initiative is great, but don't try to coach it in the fact that he's helping out.
Yeah. No, I never said. When did I ever say he was helping out?
You said
out?
It's not for himself.
You said no, it wasn't for himself.
It's for his. It's not like he's buying something that he wants to collect. He's doing a money-making operation. It's what's good old-fashioned capitalism. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's what I admire about it.
All right. Now, 12-year-old, 13-year-old capitalism,
yeah,
never works without a goal. What is he working
towards? Yeah, what's he working at?
You know, I don't think he has a goal right now other than to feed the bank account to keep buying these things and selling to the kids that will overpay. It's no secret he goes to a school where most of the kids are wealthier than
until the squishy bubble breaks. It's yeah, the and perfect
then,
system.
Then it's over. Then right. It's over.
Don't and get caught with too much product.
Yeah, but you know, if you're relying on a mart of wall, the Walmart, to restock shelves, you're in a slippery situation.
Yeah, he
anyway
needs to reach out to Japan or China or wherever they make them.
They have the knockoffs. It mm-hmm. That takes an hour by the time they get that. So it's going. What is this?
This is the music for him reaching his contact.
Is that your Asian music?
Yeah. It's subtle, I like racism.
This is really it's subtle racism.
Is it?
The only kind you can get away with. But it's almost Rob, like a yeah. Go ahead.
Rob's going down the right path. If you buy the squishies in bulk, from Temu or Alibaba, then he can take them in and make double the money.
But it's risky because it's going to take him 3 weeks to get them.
And they're not really squishies, the real ones.
Yeah, but all he has to do is complete the transaction and then say this very valid phrase. This holds up in court. You just say, you pays your money, you takes your chance.
Michael is Mike Damone. Yeah, it's Scoob.
A little bit, yeah.
Selling concert tickets. And
you
right.
I want
going,
you to want me.
The Dream Police did it.
They're not real, but how's that Red Sox jersey?
The Red Sox jersey is fantastic. And I got that from you. And that is outside of a logo once in a while. It's pretty good stuff. I mean,
the fake microphones are great, too.
All the jerseys I've gotten from Josh's source in Asia have been stellar, have been really beautiful.
A bunch of new City Connects this year have leaked out. Mm-hmm. And they have already been mocked up and sold now on Temu.
And you would only know that if there happens to be a Baltimore one that looks particularly fetching.
There is a Baltimore
true?
One that I like. I like it better than the old one, of course. But there's others that I don't like. There's like six of them that leaked out.
Because
and they're all now for
the Red Sox
overseas.
Are one of the City Connect teams that were the first ones to do that. They were in
America. Yeah, you got the yellow ones.
Yeah, the yellow ones and the green
Why
ones.
Why do I feel that the Red Sox would be the first team to sell their own knockoffs?
The Red Sox, you know what they're good at? Coming up with City Connect jerseys, but not necessarily a team you want to put on the field.
They can make their money, though.
Right. It's fun to turn on a game when I get back from Michael's game and I turn the Red Sox game on and say, well, we're here in the third inning, 5 strikeouts already for it. And it's like, okay, thanks. Yep.
Thanks, suck. Buddy.
Really? I mean, hey. Can I just say this? I'll vent for the last time. No, I won't. I'll always vent. But this is it. This is what my teams are doing to me lately. My teams are sucking so badly, they don't even give me time to sit down and get into a season.
Right.
They just suck so quickly out of the gate. They dig such a deep hole. And, of course, in the NFL, it's worse because they're limited games. But it's just it's a drag.
So we're talking Red Sox. We're talking Giants. What other teams have let you down?
Wait a minute. Clifford says, not a big crying fan, Mike. Because you do it all show, every show. I'm bitching.
What?
I'm not crying.
Yeah,
I'm
not
whining.
Crying.
I'm not crying, you
single tear.
Yes.
No, Clifford Curtis.
I've gotten emotional on the show. We get emotional. I mean, it's what we do.
Not me. Never.
I have in the jingle for the show, it's bitching.
Yeah, I know.
All right? Come on now, Clifford. Curtis Clifford, is that a character or something? Because you know it's not the real guy.
No, I think that might be his real name, Curtis Clifford.
Hi there, how are you?
Yes, would you like some apple juice?
Yeah, so the run to the Mart of Wall was unsuccessful.
What time was your arrival to Walmart this morning?
We leave the house at 6:30 a.m.
Oof.
And his bus comes at about probably 5 of 7.
Oh,
so we have that window.
Tight turnaround.
It is a tight turnaround.
But is that the deal? If you take him to Walmart, you don't take him to school?
Yes.
Unless, what if he scored
Hold on. It's not like a deal, though. I mean, I'm not negotiating with him. I mean, he more often than not now knows that it's bus. And we have the service. We might as well utilize
it. But what if he scored like 80 squishies? Too many to take on the bus. Would you take him to school with the squishies?
No. And you want the bus. The bus is a great sales opportunity.
No, I've got work to do.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I've got work to do. So, I mean, I've got to get, I've got to get back and get it done because, I'm busy being pranked for April Fools. And
there was no dog poop, Mike. That was a joke.
Are you, it was great in her sleepy state.
Yeah.
Where do you line up on the April Fools thing? You can't be in radio and not do it. You do a lot of April Fool's pranks.
Credit to you and the show for the best one ever.
The Tats for Tots was one of my all-time favorites.
Perfectly executed.
I love a good prank.
It was great. But in real life, I'm not much of a merry prankster. I did it some as a kid. I was big for putting food coloring in the milk.
I'm terrible at it.
But there's one that I would do consistently at WJFK that I still think fondly back of to this day. I would run board for the Howard Stern Show, which means I would get to the station anywhere between 5:15 or 5:30 with some time to kill. And there would be a row of cubicles for salespeople. And back then, the business was driven by landline phones. There weren't cell phones. Mm-hmm. People had to call them in the office. So I got in early and I got a tape dispenser, just clear Scotch tape, and went down the line of all the business office people and taped down the little button that would go down when you hung it up. So their phone would ring throughout the day, and they'd pick it up, and it'd keep ringing. And in a glance, you couldn't tell why it was ringing. And even if you figured it out, you had to use like your fingernail to get the tape off because it was a pain in the ass.
That really is.
That's a good one. I like that one. And no one's hurt. And it's very noisy.
No one gets hurt. And by the way, if somebody gets hurt with April Fool's jokes, fine.
Yeah, you heal.
Thinning the herd if you're not bright enough.
I think if it's a good prank, it's good on any day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
I like April Fool's. I like pranks. I don't need April Fool's.
Do you know, can you identify Rob Spiewak's most long-running gag? I can. His most, the longest-running gag that he has on the show?
Is it
still
60
working
minutes?
With you?
Yeah, 60 minutes has been canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, though. It's pretty solid.
Don't give yourself too much
credit. No, because I still occasionally get an email or a message from somebody who says, I had to explain to my wife that 60 Minutes was not really canceled.
What's the longest running one you do in your private life about Vienna? What's the one where you go on the website?
The best one is probably making up like hate crimes that existed and buildings that were never there. And things like that.
Somebody will ask for directions, right?
Yeah. My favorite one ever was, and I've been kicked out of, I think, 3 or 4 Vienna-based groups. Vienna's a suburb where I used to live. And they'd say, there, the main street through Vienna, Virginia, is called Route 123, which changes names as you go on it. But in Vienna, it's called Maple Avenue because it's the most boring name you could come up with. And one person posted on the Vienna site, said, "Hey, love the site, living in Toledo now. What was the name of the street that went right through town?" And I said, "Oh, you mean the one that's lined with maple trees?" "Yes." I said, "I don't know. I think it might have been Main Street." And then everyone jumps up and says, "No, it's Maple Avenue."
And then you argue with them.
Yeah, I say, "I don't think so.
I don't think so." There it is. Just fun.
And sometimes posting buildings that, like, notable historic houses in other cities and say, "Remember when this was on Center Street?"
Right.
"I don't think that was ever." "Oh, it was right next to the boot store."
Can't we share the advice that you always give people? If you're a dumb person, but you're brighter than other dumb people.
Yeah.
Pick on the people that are dumber than you are.
Always look behind you. Yes, and you'll always win.
Always look behind you. That might be a T-shirt, Josh.
All right.
That just could be a black T-shirt with white lettering that says, "Always look behind you."
If you do that, you'll win. You will win.
Get that running synthetic. I need it for down in Florida. "Always look behind you." It's perfect. That's fantastic. That's what they do on Peaky Blinders now, too.
What's that?
Oh, man. Oh, just their horrible life. Their horrible life of, of vendettas and Adrian Brody. By the way, Adrian Brody on Peaky Blinders, and yes, I know I'm going back like 3 years now,
yeah.
But I have to say, I wish I'd watched it at the time because I would have talked about him channeling his inner Marlon Brando. Because his
boy,
gangster,
he is not shy to act, is he?
His Marlon Brando is kind of like, "My name's Luca Scarpetta or Scarchetta," or "Came over to help you with your math homework. There you go. Hey, how's it going? I want to find the Thomas Shelby, the British gangster. Want to go take care of him right now? There we go." Yeah,
I'm into it. It's all I'm watching.
I love to lie. And then own up to it, like to tell someone something outrageous.
Yeah, you also like to lie and not own up to it.
Yeah, but Mike, you'll never know when that is.
Yeah, well, I probably have guessed over the years. But go ahead.
Like, I'll tell my mom something that does not exist at all and let her stew on it for a couple minutes. And I'll say,
it's a variation I'm lying. On April Fool's. It really
yeah,
is.
But I do it all year round. Yeah.
Right.
She'll call me sometimes and say, "Listen, we've got a lot of stuff to do today. No lying." I say, "Okay, that's a deal."
I think that it's the human condition, to be honest with you.
Sure.
That's why the first thing we little creatures did when we developed language was, figure out how to communicate with our fellow man. And then when we realized that we got more sophisticated and we could communicate falsehoods with our fellow man, we rocked and rolled. I believe we need another age of enlightenment. We are ripe for an age of enlightenment. We are I don't think I'm overstating it. And you can go back to prior to the industrial age and back when we were, killing rabbits and, putting fires in the fireplace. But no, I mean, I'm talking about the real age of enlightenment where scientific achievement, the big thinkers, inventions, creators, they ruled the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the first glaring example of that when I realized we were in trouble is when we were able as a nation, or actually as a world, to develop a vaccine for COVID in about 7 months. Something that wasn't even...
But that wasn't the age of enlightenment.
No, but that made me realize when people didn't care about that. They weren't exalting the people that took something that we knew nothing about. And in about a half a year, figured out a way to fight
it. But in an age of enlightenment, you would perhaps have these people on monuments. You would maybe have them on coins.
They need to be exalted.
Where we are now,
elevated. Yeah,
it's irrelevant.
Yeah,
because it's looking at the crack of a Kardashian's ass is where we are now.
Yeah, people love The Bachelor. They do love The Bachelor.
That's what we value. Squishies. Mm-hmm. My kid going out. What do kids like in school? Squishies. Little pieces of latex they can squeeze. That's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote. I didn't write this down. I actually went online and found this. The Age of Enlightenment, roughly 1685 to 1815. I will give you the description.
Look at the T-shirt.
Always look behind you.
Josh, would it be safe today that those would be available at the close of the show today?
Yeah, after the show, I'll put them up on the store.
Always look behind you.
It's creepy.
I think it's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, let people figure it out. See, the show is enlightened by putting that up there.
Yes.
Here it is. Here's the description.
All right.
Was an intellectual, philosophical, and cultural movement in Europe and the Americas that championed reason, science, and individualism over superstition and tradition.
Was one of the founding movement fathers probably Ben Franklin at the beginning of it, I would think.
Yeah. Thinkers advocated for rational thought, individual liberty, religious tolerance, and constitutional government, ultimately laying the foundation for modern democracy. So what did the Age of Enlightenment do? It ushered in the Age of Democracy, which was, here are the core ideas. The movement emphasized rationalism, which is reason, the source of knowledge. Empiricism, which is knowledge that comes from observation, science, really.
Yeah.
And progressivism. It also represented challenging authority. There's a strong skepticism towards traditional established institutions. You could argue that there was a little of that with the current situation, but I don't know.
Not to
argue. And key thinkers.
Yeah.
Prominent thinkers included Voltaire, John Locke, Isaac Newton, Rousseau. They championed ideas of freedom and human progress.
You know who else does that is Baseball DJ.
Baseball DJ. Here's Little Timmy.
Here's Ben Franklin with the Watchmaker's series.
So that's why they all sound the same.
Yeah.
And now every time I hear it, I can think, opportunity lost. Opportunity lost.
But you can still be hired to do live Little League games.
I love our audience, though. Daniel Thurber writes, Ben Franklin was a player.
Oh, too. He was. He liked his women.
Do we really know if he was?
I mean, we do.
We do because of our interpretation of history.
But his diaries talk about whoring. They do. He went to Paris to be a diplomat and for the whoring.
Talk about whoring.
Yeah.
I'll need an example of that tomorrow. That's your homework assignment.
Thank you.
You know, he would write down, went whoring last night.
I don't have any exact quotes. I just know that's what he did. He loved to soak in bathtubs.
You're a BS artist, so it could be true or it could not be true.
Mike, if I thought I was lying.
That's how you got magna cum laude.
Lying. Okay. The language, man, you are a tart-mouthed man today.
I am. But no, you faked your way through college. Everybody knows that. I mean, we all did. You know, I mean, because if it was real smarts, you and I wouldn't have cut the mustard.
It was a broadcasting degree.
And anything there, you know, it was just what's your ability to BS.
I didn't fake my way through history.
Okay.
And I took a lot of history classes. I didn't fake my way through English. But broadcasting, sure. Of course.
When you would say that, you go, well, his diary, say, and then it's like, example, please.
I never said that.
In the age of Mike O'Mara's show Enlightenment, I'm not going to let you get away with it unless you give me empirical evidence that I can observe. See?
Well, for one thing, look at him. A handsome man like that, women are going to be all over his ass.
Yeah, you probably know what it would tell me is it would back up your claim there, because if you look like that, you probably have to pay for it.
You probably
all the time. Yeah.
Especially, you know who still has to pay for it are the Ben Franklin impersonators.
You bet your ass in Philadelphia. God, I hate that city. One on every corner. One on every single
corner. It always ruins me when you see a guy that actually has long hair and a receding hairline and the glasses and the proper outfit. But
you look like Ben Franklin.
But he's wearing like New Balance shoes.
Well, that was my trip to Boston, was a tour by a guy that was dressed like Ben Franklin.
Wow.
You know, talking as if he was there.
First of all, nowadays, now as society has continued to age, you can see 70 Ben Franklins on a subway in Philadelphia. And also, you can go to Bass Pro Shops and see about 12 Santas in the cashier line. You know,
not even like, praying to be Santa.
Not just even playing.
That's how they are. Right?
Yeah, you'll say, hey, it looks like we got somebody special at the cashier at the Bass Pro Shops. Say, what do you mean? Okay, sorry about that, Santa.
And then, we'll Mike, just move take 95 to Times Square and see a really dirty Big Bird.
Lots of Santas. Lots of Santas, yeah. What do you have to be a Santa? Well, it's just one step over being a Harley rider.
Yes.
You just have to connect the beard and let it grow for a lot longer, and then you'll be fine. That's
have I ever told you about Sergeant Santa?
No.
In Richmond, there was one guy that was the Santa Claus. I think he was the Santa at Miller and Rhodes. And every city has their own
department store.
They have their own department store.
Okay.
And in the golden age, Miller and Rhodes was the department store.
Cool.
They had a piano player and they had the best Santa. But this Santa guy realized that this is really, at best, a 1 month gig. So he figured out a way to market himself throughout the year. And he would put on a blue Santa suit and go to schools and talk about safety, and he was Sergeant Santa. And then he had a green Santa suit that he wore for St. Patrick's Day, and it was always Sergeant Santa. And you'd like go into businesses, and there'd be like a little autographed headshot, Sergeant Santa. He was a big deal. But then if you think about it, you're really just bilking the neighborhood.
Amen. It's,
yeah, you can't.
The American way. And by the way, if we're talking about Santa, remember, since this is the age of enlightenment, in the words of the great thinker Megyn Kelly, Santa Claus is white. Thank you. Thank you. If you ever wanted to know one thing about somebody, you really wanted to break down what it's all about that dope, you just say Santa Claus is white.
Show me Santa Claus is white. Yeah.
So pretty. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break. When we come back, we've got the news. And then later in the show, we got two exciting things. We're going to be diving into Josh's world, because
good.
If there's one person that's cultured on this show, it's that man to the right, because
yep, look at him.
He's traveling. He's visiting.
He's observing.
I leave the house.
And he's driving. He leaves the house.
Yeah.
And that's very special. And he doesn't stay in the house like Rob, and he just doesn't go to two places like I do. Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting. But news coming up next on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Sergeant Josh.
Sergeant. Friends, a quick warning. Beware of the takers. You know the type. They listen to the free show Monday through Thursday and give nothing back. Tisk, tisk. For shame. But us, we're different. We're the givers. We give you the bonus show every Friday. We've got the goods, unfiltered, unrestricted, all access and fun. Because more access means more laughs. You deserve the good stuff, the extra stuff. We're talking TMOS extras. Unpredictable bonus content you won't find anywhere else. Or go big with the commercial free feed, complete with the bonus show every single week. Sign up today, because your bonus subscription keeps this whole party rolling. You fuel the fun, and we keep it coming. So smash that bonus show tab at MikeOmaraShow.com and jump in. The water's fine. Be a giver. It feels great, and the laughs are guaranteed. Thank you, Mike. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. And we want to remind everybody it's coming up Thursday. Time for my disappointing update of the day.
Maybe you're not going to be disappointed.
I love
you
it when Josh
this.
Anticipates what I'm going to say coming out of the spot. So how are we doing? Are we going to be or really dirty?
We had some movement yesterday.
Oh, no. How many eggs? Don't tell me.
Well,
I'll find out on Thursday, I guess.
I'll give you an update.
All right.
At the moment, there are 6 eggs for Rob.
Oh, that was yesterday. That didn't move.
That did not move. There are 7 eggs for Mike.
That moved by 1.
Yep.
Moved by 1. And there are now 7 eggs for Josh.
Hey! Oh, so
Josh caught
so
fire yesterday.
So I got yesterday's movement, yes. Yeah.
That's good. That makes me happy. They don't have it. By the way, if you want to buy an egg, you got to do it before tomorrow's show. Go to the TMOS store and get yourself an egg. Every egg, you select the host you want to break it over his head, and we'll be doing that on tomorrow's show. And
Thursday show.
Did I already explain how we're going to do it? Did we?
You have egg.
Yeah. You were going to play a sound.
Okay. The sound, the horn. The horn I was going to play.
The zombie horn.
Yeah, good time for my computer to just go like that. Okay, here we go. There it is. Rotating eggs tomorrow. Rob, now, Mike, see, Josh, Rob, just like this. We're going to do it just like this, you know.
And speaking of computer, how is your printer?
The printer's fantastic.
Love it. That's great.
I'm very, very pleased with the Canon Corporation, as recommended by many of our listeners. So,
Vix, Lavoris, and Canon. And
so that would be a total of 20. A total of 20 eggs. And see if you can do a little mad rush today. If you'd like to see us, we'll be right here at this time, taping about 8:15 Eastern time. If you want to see the eggs, come and join us.
I have a question.
Yes.
Well, upon the busting of each egg, will we announce who purchased the egg?
I don't know if that's possible. I suppose it is, right?
Do you think we can do that, Josh?
Because
you know, these are the honored listeners of Holy Week.
Why don't
we want to call attention to them?
Why don't we take Sharpies and write their name on the egg?
I like that idea too.
No, that's too much work. Whatever the work is, make Rob do all of it.
Okay.
I'll write names on my
eggs. Write on your eggs.
And faces.
Faces.
See, I was take pictures.
I was thinking of doing fingers. I was thinking of walking outside for my
Dirks.
Eggs. So I could get a nice pop.
You're gonna do what?
I was thinking of walking outside for my eggs so I can hit them real hard and get a nice explosion.
Did Kelly say you couldn't do it in the house?
No, it's me. It's me looking at all this crap on my desk and concerned.
So, yeah, I equipment here.
I don't want to build a show for new equipment.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to go.
Right.
Let it go into a...
And I know if I do that inside, I will be very careful, and it'll just be on the head, where I feel if I go outside, I could hit myself hard enough to make it look good on camera.
I know that tomorrow I will use earbuds because they're less, you know, they're not going to hold egg like headphones. And at least also, one I want to crack and let it drizzle down my head. A la the
Three
Stooges.
All going to drizzle down your head.
But I mean, not just a smash. I mean like a crack, like I'm putting it into a baking dish to let the yolk fall.
Yeah, but then the yolk will roll over your head and you won't get any yolk.
Well, the only thing worse than a fudge cutter is a yolk roller.
Please go to the website today and we'll see what the final total is tomorrow. Right now, Mike and Josh in the lead with 7 and Rob with 6 and nicely evenly distributed. I'm not excited about it. I'm dreading it, but at the same time, our dread is your pleasure.
Yes. It was a mistake,
please. Yes. We'll see what happens. It's all happening the Eggtacular for Thursday's show.
I bet you end up liking it.
Sure. I played the wrong sound again because I'm going to use the war horn for this presidential address alert. Presidential address alert.
I love that sound.
Donald Trump will address the nation tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time. He is expected to give the nation an update on the war in Iran.
Smash eggs on his head.
And smash
That's
eggs
right.
on his head.
The but expectation you gotta pay.
Is that he could set the table for a U.S. pullout of the conflict.
Look out.
Without Iran opening the Straits of Hormuz, his address comes in the midst of skyrocketing gas prices and record low polling numbers. Wall Street yesterday had a good day because they're kind of counting on him to, what is it, taco, they call it? I forgot what the thing where yeah, he...
Taco Tuesday?
What does taco mean again? It's like he backs off, he backs down or something like that.
Does it stand for something?
Yeah, they find out, and maybe by the end of the news we can find out what that is. Stop it. Don't play that again.
I will not be looking in on that tonight.
Not me neither.
Trump always chickens out.
We have rules if you're going to play an April Fool's joke.
Good.
We are taping this show at, it's approximately a little after 9 Eastern time, the noon deadline. That's one of the rules for April Fool's Day. This has been a guideline for a while now, but it doesn't always get mentioned.
I've never heard of that.
Well, it's here, and I like it. It's the noon deadline. Any pranks must be revealed by then. Also, April Fools, do not harm. As Rob mentioned, nobody gets hurt.
Exactly.
The pranks are meant to make people look foolish or inconvenienced, not to cause genuine distress or be destructive. I'm with that, too, I believe. What are you looking at?
I have a button up here of, it's on my primum non nocere. First, do no harm.
Do no
That's
harm.
Latin. That's right.
Isn't that a, is that
it's
for
the
a
doctor's
physician?
Oath. Yeah.
A physician.
Yeah.
Number 3 is reveal the prank. Yeah, yeah. You have to. You don't just prank and then not reveal the whole thing with our.
The reveal is the thing.
The reveal is the big thing.
Yeah. What if I wait until next year for the reveal?
We're not really married.
That's funny. Number four is no illegal activities. Damn it. Come on.
Yeah.
This should go without saying, but certain people will need to be reminded that April 1st is not an excuse to break the law, like stealing someone's stuff.
You know, breaking the law. And a question for you
is,
normally by this time of day on April Fool's, some corporation has done something way over the top.
Yes.
And I like that.
Like,
they said that, I mean, like, they were going to change the Taco Bell or they were going to do something strange to McDonald's burger. I have not seen a big corporate April Fool's joke.
So good.
Be on the lookout.
That's a good thing. Yes.
I think people are tired of it and it ends up becoming, corporations have made it a day you just stay off the internet.
Yeah.
Or how about they do it, and really take a chance? Like, say, the big arch, those fried onions are actually cockroaches.
They don't want to let any secrets out.
The Taco Bell sponsoring the Liberty Bell.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Because it was like the first one.
And it was possible that it happened.
Yeah.
The last rule, number five, is target wisely. It's a smart etiquette to play pranks on people you know well, like friends, family, or close coworkers, people who will appreciate the humor. It isn't worth riling up people who are thin-skinned and can't take a joke. I disagree with that.
They're the best targets.
They are the best targets. Mm-hmm. And it's mean to do it to strangers. Well, I mean, if nobody gets hurt, it's not mean. It's just like, watch out!
What if we all turn on our TVs tonight and Trump doesn't show up?
Now, you know what? Those poll numbers would go up if
that's
you did
right.
That.
I'm not going to do it.
April Fools!
I'm not pulling out of Iran. I'm not stopping the bomb. I'm going to double bomb them. April Fools!
Double bomb them.
It's afternoon. Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's the rules. Boo. Yeah.
Google is finally letting people change their old, poorly chosen Gmail addresses. I didn't know it was a thing, but it is.
It is.
You can keep your email and change the address. You also get to keep your previous handle for anyone who still has it as an alternate. Basically, it just lets you easily transition to more mature addresses.
I can give you an example. Yes. One of our original accounts for this show was started. It was like a TikTok or some social, and it was started by Maddie Masiello, who was our employee some years ago. And I had to get into it, and I said, I need the login. She says, I'll log in for you. I said, no, I just need the login. And it was under the email address. So it was not this, but it was like, Justin Bieber is awesome, 248 at gmail.com.
Right. Because we all signed up for emails, like in high school. High school. For us, college, where we didn't think it ever meant business.
Or when I started collecting Social Security. That's when I signed up for
my first email
address.
Was so awesome. It was spiewak@cbs.com.
That's
a great email.
Yeah.
And then they fired me.
To change your username, go to the email settings page. From there, click on personal info, email, Google account, email. If your account is eligible, you'll see a change Google account email option. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And be careful what you pick. You can only change it once every 12 months.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mike. Email is not going anywhere.
Yeah. My alternate is doing really well.
Which is your alternate?
Doja Cat Oriola.
At gmail.com.
The police report, we're going to do a little tiger here, and it's a bit of stuff, so bear with me. The police report from Tiger Woods' arrest filed yesterday. Here's what we learned. Tiger told the cops he was looking down at his phone. Didn't he like say that the last time? Just before the crash, but he showed signs of impairment and failed a series of roadside sobriety tests. Police say his eyes were bloodshot and glassy. His pupils were extremely dilated. They found two hydrocodone pills in his pants pocket.
In my pants?
They were collected, submitted into evidence. He admitted to taking medications for high blood pressure and cholesterol, plus ibuprofen and Vicodin. Well, the Vicodin can get you in trouble. Here's the kicker.
Should Vicodin really be an add-on to that? Shouldn't that be closer to the top?
A copy of Tiger's driver's license is included with the report, and it has the words safe driver on it. Can you get that put on a license in certain states? I didn't know that.
Is it like written in Sharpie? Or this means is it like
Tiger had a clean driving record for at least 3 years. His last crash was in 2021. Now, here's what he said, and this is the heavy part.
All right.
He says, quote, "I know and I understand the seriousness of the situation I find myself in today. I'm stepping away for a period of time to seek treatment and focus on my health." He added that he's taking whatever time is needed to, quote, "return in a healthier, stronger, and more focused place, both personally and professionally." It's not clear what he's seeking treatment for, since he claims his only transgression was looking down at his phone, but he also pleaded not guilty to the charge yesterday. If he's taking time and he's got some addictive issues with painkillers, I hope he gets the help he needs.
I do too, but it sounds like that piece of copy might have been written by lawyers about 2 years ago just in case.
Look, he's used up any goodwill from even those of us that are big fans, and he's got to get his act together. He does, yes.
That safe driver thing is a Florida thing. I was just checking. I don't have it on my driver's license, but Kelly does.
I got to
go. Kelly's license says safe driver.
Safe driver.
Is that the end of your Tiger segment?
Yes, it is, Rob. Okay. Yeah. Rob Spiewak on sound. Mark Wayne Mullen.
Great guy.
He went from his family's plumbing business to the U.S. Senate and then to the House before being nominated. And I thought it was the House to the Senate. I don't think it was the Senate.
It usually
to the
is.
House.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to research it. Before he was nominated to be confirmed as new Secretary of Homeland Security, Jimmy Kimmel had jokes about it on his show last week, saying, quote, I would not put a plumber.
What's that?
I would not put a plumber in charge of Homeland Security for the same reason I wouldn't call a five-star general to pull a rat out of my toilet. Well, Dirty Jobs host Mike Rowe, I base all of my opinions on the Bible of Mike Rowe because I think he's so smart.
He's he puts himself into situations where he appears smart.
Mike Rowe said, the Biscayne Bay, 30 miles outside of the... he said Jimmy's tone deaf, and he's insulting not only plumbers, but, quote, parents of plumbers, spouses of plumbers, children. Oh, God, give me a break. This is such pandering. And millions of people who have had a plumber show up when they needed one. He added, quote, I'm a tad butt hurt by the suggestion that skilled workers should never evolve into something new and that competence is somehow limited to one... It's a joke.
It's all it is. Yeah.
It's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt. One of my friends is an oyster farmer who's running for Senate, and he's doing a great job. And I wish him the very best.
With the Nazi tattoo.
With the
No, I'm just
what is the matter with you?
He's rage
just trying to throw you off.
Yeah. He's rage baiting me. There
here, Mike. Let me change the title.
I've written a nad.
Let me. I have a Karnak joke for you.
Okay.
Microsoft. You have to say it.
What is...
No. You just repeat it.
Microsoft.
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 Why can't the host of Dirty Jobs father children?
Bada bing, bada boom, ladies and gentlemen. Very nice. I like that. A woman in Alabama posted a TikTok about being on the hunt for a man named Mike. Speaking of the name,
hey,
Mike,
good day for you.
Who her fun had fun with while out dancing. The friend didn't get Mike's info, but she felt like he could have been her soulmate. The TikToker shared a video of Mike and added that the only other thing they knew about him was his friends kept chirping at him, Mike, 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 just like me when I go out.
Yeah.
Similar to birds in Finding Nemo. Mike.
That's a great gag.
Well, it's unclear if Mike saw it, but Laura did. Laura is Mike's wife. Oh!
Oh, dear.
Trouble. In the comments, she said, hi, I'm Michael's wife. He's busy explaining this to our two children right now. Someone asked if she was sure, and she said, oh, that's him. the guy I said forever to 10 years ago. Someone also said, I am Mike's grandmother, and I'm also mad at him. That's funny, but it probably was a joke. So bad news for the Mikes in the world.
I think that, you know what? Let's give Mike the benefit of the doubt.
Why not?
Yeah.
Mike Rowe, what about all the plumbers, the daughters of plumbers?
Are you wearing latex gloves, Mike?
Yeah, I got to go into a septic tank today and pull out condoms. Yeah, Mike Rowe.
I like the idea of an entire news segment about guys named Mike.
Mike.
Yeah. I'll work Mike's on in it. The news.
You know what? I will get that to you before Christmas of 27.
Nice.
All right. There it is. Finally today, last Friday, police in Florida closed in on a drug dealer named Bobby Johnson. Apparently, that is not a fake name. He was in the process of making a deal, so they basically caught him red-handed on video. And as the cops were storming in, Bobby got hit in the head by a flying bag of cocaine.
How unfortunate.
Apparently, the person he had sold it to was refunding the purchase. Bobby did not seem hurt by the flying coke. The customer, a man named Charlie Damon, was also arrested. So it's Bobby and Charlie doing a drug deal, with another man who saw the commotion out front and ran out the back. He was tracked down a few houses away, and he was probably the mastermind because he was hit with more serious manufacturing and trafficking charges.
Sure.
Detectives recovered drugs, including 831 grams of cocaine, $10,000 cash, and guns, including one stolen and one with the serial number removed from the scene. By the way, 831 grams of coke, $10,000 in cash, and a free gun is also included in the gift bag for the TMOS 2027 cruise next January.
Please join us. You will have a great time.
Go to the store to find out all the tickets details.
We will remove the serial number for you.
Yes,
and
we will.
That is a dirty job.
So when we come back, TV recos for Rob or non-recos and tech we don't need right here. And then later in the show, it's a lovely trip down Joshua Lane when we continue on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. You know that we love Soul, and with good reason. They make delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products with precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulas designed for predictable feel-good effects. They have the amazing out-of-office gummies, the refreshing and delicious out-of-office drinks, and they even have THC oil drops. But now they have some new products that are truly next level. Soul now has out-of-office mood gummies, three new gummy varieties that are specifically formulated to reset your routine, one vibe at a time. You can get uplift for a little boost, balance to keep things nice and steady, or mellow, because sometimes we all need to take it down a notch. Mood gummies are where it's at. Remember, all of Soul's best-selling out-of-office gummies deliver a customizable calming buzz. It's the easiest way to unwind without the grogginess or next-day regret of alcohol. You wake up feeling rested, relaxed, and ready to go. Josh and Rob swear by them, so don't be a dummy. Buy a gummy. Bleh. Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off.
The show continues now by order of the Peaky Effing Blinder.
What is a Peaky Blinder?
It's
by the
a
way?
Gang member.
Oh, and, okay.
I looked it up one time, and it's has something to do with the way they dress and the caps they wear where they keep razor blades.
Okay.
In their caps, Peaky, and I'm Arthur Shelby. I'm the brutish older brother that's a little dumber than Tommy Shelby.
Are you brutish?
I'm brutish. Oh, that's right. I'm Arthur. This show is canceled by order of the Peaky Effing Blinders.
Send it into the cut.
The cut. That's right. That's why I threw me medals.
I like the effective British accent that Josh used.
I threw him into the cut. That's a good Peaky reference right there. But Rob, what have you been watching, you Nancy boy? You?
Oh, these shirts are now up on the store.
Always look behind you. There it is.
First, Mike, I was out yesterday, had a couple errands to do. I got two compliments on the watch that we talked about earlier this week.
Very nice.
And you know what? You've been after me. You said a guy should have a watch.
Yes.
I'm getting into the habit. So thank you.
And when are, you know, if the watch is on your wrist, wearing pants regularly, long pants will soon follow.
It can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
Mike, two shows on the Netflix. I guess I'm in sort of a, my algorithm is leading towards horror. I don't know why.
Then you ought to watch The Blindest because it's very violent.
But these are genuinely regarded as horror movies.
Okay.
The first one started out really good,
mm-hmm.
and I finished it last night, and I was left with like, huh? What? It was such a beautiful gradual degradation of quality, but the first half of the series, it's an 8-episode series. First half is worth watching. It is called Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen.
I've seen that.
About a couple that's going to get married that go to the husband apparently, or the fiance is extraordinarily rich and has a very weird family.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff goes down. Great bloody violence. I think you would enjoy it, but just know it decays at the end, but you're going to get 4 or 5 good hours out of it.
Okay. All right. And Something Bad Is Going to, why do I think I watch? Do you
something
find
very bad is going to happen?
Sometimes this is how fast things move and how things come into our consciousness and leave our consciousness rapidly. I remember, no offense to our friend, James Patterson, who's been on this show a couple
right.
of times, but, you know, Pulp Fiction, and I'm not talking about the movie, I'm talking about the real stuff
that you read,
kind of enters your mind and goes out of your mind very quickly. Once you're done reading it, you're not going to retain a lot of it.
So often when I'm doing the Netflix scroll of the night, and I'll look at Carrie, and she's in her phone, of course. But
you'll say, did we watch this?
Have we seen this? And she said, oh, yeah. You didn't like it. Or, you thought it was great.
Usually when you don't really love something, it goes out of your brain quickly. So something bad is going to happen.
Something very bad is going to happen.
Something very bad is going to happen.
Give it a try. If you like the first episode, I would stay with it because there's not a lot out there right now.
It has, if I remember correctly, somewhat of a jive factor, right?
Yeah, and the fiancé is played by the son from White Lotus, that had the Italian grandfather and the guy from The Sopranos as his dad. Remember he was banging the hooker?
Yes.
Italy? Yeah,
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
He's really not good. Okay. The second one was recommended when I finished it, and I had to go with a horror movie that was called Bone Lake.
Bone Lake sounds so jive, sounds so horrible slasher. Why? And horror, I think horror is not a bad thing late at night when you're, you know, just looking at something that, is a guilty pleasure. Why not?
Well, I mean, it's not going to scare you anymore. Mm-hmm. We've seen everything. And also a horror movie, I think really to be horrifying needs to be seen in a theater.
Yeah, probably.
With people around you.
Right.
But, you know, in a well-lit family room.
But Bone Lake is not a horror movie. It's a porno, isn't it?
No. Well, there is a lot of sex.
It looks like a lot of sex.
Bone Lake.
And but it is a horror movie with a very creepy sort of notion.
Can you bring up that picture again? Because let's do an analysis. Yes, the horror part of the skulls underneath the water.
Right.
But the other picture looks like perhaps she's in the throes of ecstasy.
Well, part of the horror is a cross-couple pollination of sexual liaison. So
a cross-couple pollination.
Two couples, and they swap, but sort of against their will. It's weird. It's very weird. I was encouraged to stay with it when in the first, I would say, 90 seconds of the film.
Is Doja Cat in it?
No, not Doja Cat.
Okay.
But you can be emailed at dojacatariola@gmail.com.
Who's the Canadian artist with the dancer that's really talented? She's young and she's very pretty, and she was on Saturday Night Live.
Sydney Sweeney?
No, she was on Saturday Night Live with Sabrina Carpenter. No,
yeah,
she's good too, but there's one other. Is Sabrina Carpenter Canadian?
I don't know. I don't trust her either way.
Okay. All right. I'll figure it out.
She's
all over my feed right now. Let me see if I can find it.
And then so are you. Look out.
Yeah, buddy.
The first 90 seconds of Bone Lake. I'm expecting some racy content because it's explained in it. But I was not expecting to see an arrow pierce a man's scrotum in the first 90 seconds.
Hello.
And
that'll keep you.
That's
going to leave a mark.
I'm going to say, hey, maybe I'll stick with this. But about halfway through, I said, I got to know. And I looked it up on IMDb, and the first review is possibly the worst movie ever made. And you know what? I'm inclined to agree. So stay away from that. For one thing, one of the leading guys and one of the leading
ladies. Tate McRae.
Tate McRae?
Show me Tate McRae.
That's a lady?
Yes, Rob.
Well, I mean, Kate sounds like a man's name.
No, she's a music artist. She's a musical artist, and she's very fit.
Two of the leads of Bone Lake, both a man and a woman, kind of look like grown-up Ricky Schroeder. So you can try and pick out which ones those are.
How are the actresses in? There's Tate McRae.
Okay, actually,
I'm dirty old man.
One of the actresses looks a little like Tate McRae. She is a Russian actress, I believe. Quite fetching. The other one looks too much like Ricky Schroeder for my taste.
Very good. All right.
But I'd stay away from Bone Lake after the piercing of the scrotum. Not much to see.
Oh, see, I like a good scrotum piercing. I know, but there is
so much blood in Something Very Bad is going to Happen.
Really?
I think you would stay with Something Bad for at least four episodes.
It's a series, and I know of it. I know I've taken a peek, but unfortunately, I'm not able to watch any other television for one very specific reason.
What's that?
By order of the Peaky Effing Blinders, I have to finish all the seasons. Going back 15 years, I have
to. How many episodes? Quite a few, huh?
4,000. By order. We got to take a break. We'll come back in Josh's Art Show.
Good. Hope you're watching on YouTube.
Take it away. Yeah. Well, children, gather round. The weather is getting warmer, and that means that the bugs are coming. Critter City, sweetheart. Now, I'm known as a do-it-yourselfer, so I do not pay top dollar for a crooked pest control company to kill my bugs and my wallet. I use Pesty. Aha, Pesty is do-it-yourself pest control. Their kit makes it so easy, it only takes a few minutes to apply. And with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment. $35, you'll get a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. The kit includes a reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide gloves, and instructions. Follow these glorious instructions, and you can complete your application around your house in less than 10 minutes. I've done it. Rob's done it. We love it. Pesty gets rid of over 100 types of bugs. Plus, Pesty is kid and pet friendly. The pesticides they ship have been used in hospitals and schools all over the country. That means it kills ants, but your uncles stay alive. Best of all, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. Keep the bugs away with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off. Pesty, it's the bestie. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We have a cultured man in our midst. His name is Josh Soroka. And when he is not running around and giving people phenomenal electronic devices in their homes, and when he is not producing different podcasts all over the nation, he's an art connoisseur. And that's why you went to the art show, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how the weather was for you guys this weekend, but it was beautiful down here on Sunday.
Florida is so pretty right now.
And
it really
we decided we like to get the kids outside, get them walk around. Mm-hmm. So they've got lots of these, I always call them flea markets, but it's little festivals where people set up booths and sell things they make.
And there was parking lots of malls and things like that.
So there was the Old City Art Show was this weekend.
Hello, welcome to the Old City Art Show. Yeah, and that's from St. Augustine, which is a beautiful old town.
St. Augustine, which is apparently the oldest city in the country.
If there's any bad art there, they throw it right into the cut.
Yes.
By order of Peaky Blinders. All right, we're interrupting it. I can't interrupt him, and you can't interrupt him at the same time. That's not going to work. Right. Go ahead, Josh. Yeah.
So we headed down there right after lunch, a little late, I guess, because there weren't many people around. I think we were getting there near the end of the art show. People were packing things up, and we're looking at the booths, and it's a lot of jewelry and paintings and all. And I know I said painting.
Just for fun, say painting.
Yeah. Painting.
Say painting just for fun. Fake it.
Painting.
Just say painting.
Painting.
Have you ever heard of a soft drink, Josh, called Ting? It's a Bahamian soda.
No, I've had Tang.
Okay. Say for
when,
me,
When
ting.
Your phone, hold on. When your phone makes a sound, what does it do?
It rings.
There it is.
Okay.
He's capable.
So you can say Ting, right? Say Ting.
Ting.
Now say pain.
Pain.
Pain ting.
Pain ting.
There it is.
I don't know
what that word is.
Way to go. Linguistic.
I don't know what that word is.
Did you buy anything at the art show?
So anyway, we're looking, and no, what because I can't get the Maryland out of me, what attracts me and I pull into a booth is metal work that was crabs. And it was
metal crabs.
It was metal crabs. So I go into the booth to take a look at it. And I, like I said, it's the end, so there's not many people around. And
sure.
There's, and a man pops out from behind a wall at the back of the booth.
Oh, no.
And he pops out, and he says, "Hi, Josh."
Oh, no. And
I just stare at him.
You got recognized.
I got stared at, I stare at him, and he goes, "I've been following you."
Oh, no.
And I just stare again for a moment, and he goes, "You helped me when you first got here." What? And I just stare at him some more. And then finally I ask, "The Mike O'Mara Show?" And it was. And it was listener Nick Vincent, who is a artist blacksmith, who made the crabs and made a bunch of other cool stuff. Confused me when I first got to the booth.
Did you buy the crabs?
It's out of my price range.
Oh, it is.
He should have given you. He has been following you.
No,
he should give you.
No. It's like we don't give this show away, Rob. So yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to.
We do on 4 days a week.
But you know, but we have advertisers that we play. Come on,
you're right. You're right.
No, it was beautiful work. I just couldn't afford it, basically. But and then my family kind of creeped away. Once they realized that I was recognized from the show.
Oh, so you were surrounded by your family when you were approached.
Yes.
Does your wife, Kelly, experience any joy when you're recognized from this show? Was there any joy in her heart at all? That
I think so, yes.
That show with that evil man you work with.
Okay. It'll go away.
I remember last time this happened, Owen turned to me and said, "You're like Mr. Beast."
That's as high a compliment as he can pay you.
Yeah, but that will go away too.
But please, if you catch me in public, mention the Mike O'Mara Show.
Maybe first.
You know, you say it'll go away, but at one of our shows, your son came up to me, and he was still as excited that you do what you do, Rob, as any young man I've ever seen. Was he a little inebriated?
Yeah, he was. And you know what? That is true, but... with my wife,
still thinks it's cool that I'm doing a show like this.
With my wife, she used to be, "Hey, that's so nice. It's nice when people do that. They really like what you do." And now it's more like, "Oh God," you know. It's she doesn't care anymore.
That's her.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
that's her all over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's I think that my kids and my wife still get excited when something.
Any
like
ex-wives get excited?
Don't really maintain contact.
Wouldn't know
a thing. One of them wouldn't even know where she lives.
She
couldn't even tell you if she's still in country.
She should reach out to you.
That's okay. So that was. Did you buy anything at the art show?
I did not buy anything at the art show.
But you got
refreshments.
How does it feel? Because this is still relatively new to you, right? You didn't
Playing in. I get recognized at Oriole games when I go to Oriole games.
I love that.
And that at least I can put the context in of it's an Orioles game. I know what you're talking about.
And you're talking about your podcast
From
360.
336. Yeah.
336. And they know your section so they can
find me and stuff. So, and that's all cool. But yeah, with the Mike O'Mara Show, it's still new and it's still new. When I'm in Florida, like, I don't expect it ever.
Mm-hmm. Let's give a plug for the podcast, the Orioles podcast, section 306.
336.
336. The Orioles podcast, section 336, is it right? 336. Did I get it right that time?
You got it right.
Section 336. How long before the first really good bitching session?
Oh, vitriol? You want vitriol.
For the Orioles. How long do you figure?
Well... I'll tell you, the most recent episode is the one the day before opening day where we make our predictions. So we're all high on the birds then.
Yeah, it's springs eternal. It's hope, hope, hope.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Right now the Orioles are 2-3, and they play this afternoon, and we record tomorrow morning. I think if we go into tomorrow morning 2-4, it won't be that great of a show.
Yeah,
It'll be entertaining.
I will be this afternoon. Going online and looking at all the Boston morning shows to get the bitchers with the Red Sox who are just sucking
But you feed on that. You feed on the bitching.
I think every fan does.
Every fan does. It's the negative nature of the beast.
And if you're not a sports fan, a brand new episode of Hicks, Knicks, Sticks, Picks will drop today. Thank you.
Casablanca.
Yep.
Would be the movie, oh, Rob.
Well, I got to go with that one. That's a truly. Did you watch it?
Josh has been dragging. He is dragging his feet on this one.
No.
Oh, life, wait, you haven't recorded it yet?
No, we'll record it
today. Yeah.
So you're gonna have to watch it before you record it?
Yeah, I'll watch it right after the show.
Okay, it's a great movie.
I told him this.
It's a truly great movie.
I told him this.
As black and white Alderson movies go, just the star power alone is special. It really is. You know, yeah. Louis, I believe this is the beginning of a friendship.
Beautiful friendship.
Beautiful friendship.
There. Now, spoiler alert. Not really.
Too soon?
Yeah, a little too soon.
Maybe you could go back to that listener that makes the crabs out of metal and have him do a really, really good profile shot of Boog Powell.
That would definitely be enough metal to be out of my price range.
Boog Powell! All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back. Do you have any sort of things that we could watch that are of a video nature?
You know, it's funny. I'm looking ahead, and they're all in living color.
Exciting. Color television coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back. Listen up. I've got a delicious way to stay strong, healthy, and feeling great. Omaha Steaks. Fuel your routine with premium pre-portioned protein. Hey, I like that. Premium pre-portioned protein delivered right to your door. We're talking handcrafted USDA certified steaks, juicy gourmet burgers, plus chicken, pork, and more. Something for everyone. Right now, get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code Mike at checkout. That's a new code. Don't miss it. Why Omaha Steaks? Well, it's simple. They do beef right. Every steak is perfectly aged for tenderness, hand cut by master butchers, and backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They've been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917, and it shows in every bite. And honestly, nothing beats having a premium steak in your freezer ready to hit the grill anytime. Bring on the beef. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality protein straight to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code Mike at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code Mike. Terms apply. See site for details. You know, there are very few things that really, really on video make me hungry. That sliced steak segment of that commercial every
day.
The
one on the bias like that?
Oh, that makes me hungry.
So good. And they're every bit that good.
Yummy, yummy. Love in my tummy. Hit the music, Slim.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, you were kind enough during the news portion of the program, or as I call it, tidbits.
Yes.
You were kind enough to bring up the fact that the president will be addressing the country tonight.
Tonight, yes.
Now, he has released a teaser video. This is not common. I'm wondering if you would like to see a little bit of what President Trump has in store for us tonight.
It's important.
Let's go to the tape.
Es ist Freitag, das Wochenende ist da. Und jetzt gibt's eine Premiere für euch. Hier ist Roland Rossetti mit seinem neuen Hit Visum.
That's him.
Wow. Oh my. Just German?
Yes.
70s German. Oh my. You can practically smell the VO.
It looks like a family.
I love when people dress in vinyl.
What was that hack at the end of that?
That's sort of the, I guess, the button from the person who posted the video.
Gotcha. All right.
But that might you want to check out. Now, Josh and I like AI. We use AI in certain things. We use it as a tool. We don't rely on it. But there are times
you're the only person that qualifies AI every time you mention it.
There are certain people that should not rely on AI, particularly a lawyer. And when a lawyer hands down some case research to a young person, is that your printer?
Yeah, it's the Canon.
Canon.
Let me see if I can. You know, on these little video presentations, it's always really easy to feign a still shot.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, but you do that and we think you've locked up. So please don't do that.
I get it.
April Fools.
Oh, yes. April Fool indeed. Mm-hmm. So don't hand it down to a young clerk because he might use AI in a way that's not good.
A number of the citations in the opening brief and even quotes in the opening brief that were purportedly from cases don't appear to match any cases that they could find. And frankly, we followed up and we could not find those either.
Guirso explaining how the inaccurate brief came to be.
My law clerk was using a search engine that we've now completely discarded that is the explanation for that.
But presiding Judge Scott Shore pressed the issue.
It couldn't just be a search engine. Something produced and wrote the brief that your name is on, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
This a result of AI hallucinations. When AI mistakenly generates information that isn't backed up by any sources or facts, or as Shore put it, contrived from thin air.
So he literally
a thing now called AI hallucinations?
Well, it's what they call for when AI just gives facts wrong.
Wow. It's scary, really, because we all kind of rely on it too much, don't you think?
And the fact that this guy was turning in actual casework that never existed, mm-hmm. Thank God the judge did a little research on it.
Thank God I've got a program that when AI is generating a false fact, I get the warning tone. And then it slowly fades away.
I like how pretty it is.
It's very pretty.
It is very pretty. Uh-huh. Have you ever, I know they did an episode of Seinfeld where this was a B plot. Did you ever take a nap at work, like during lunch?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
I'd catch these primarily due to the night before.
Often,
if you had me in the office and the door was shut, or if I had a migraine,
I've seen you lay down with a migraine.
Yes.
But this guy has a very creative way if you've got to, you know, take a lengthy lunch where you can catch a great nap.
The place in NYC to nap. Turns out you can't just like nap anywhere you want in NYC, except maybe in Central Park, but it was super cold. So I looked up on Reddit where to nap. Well, I looked up on the internet, and the first thing that came up was a Reddit chain called like NYC Nappers. And it was like all these things being like, if there's one secret room in this library that if you go at these hours, the guards aren't there. Like, until I read the best idea ever, which I did. I went to the movie theater. I went to the AMC. Paid $15 for a ticket and slept in the recliner seats during the movie. Popped in my earbuds, put on my beanie.
That's good. I thought he might be in a special place since he's in bed right there. I thought he might be. I was really looking forward to him saying, "Here's where I am. I'm actually in a phone booth." But no. Right. I mean, and by the way, if you want to do that on your own sometime, take a kid to an animated feature.
Yeah, but bring your earbuds.
I slept through 80% of them. Mm-hmm. I really did, all the time.
But if you think about a place where you can buy like 2 hours, maybe more with previews, mm-hmm. of absolute safe solitude.
Yeah, and you're right about the earbuds. They are the key to doing that. Oh, yeah. By the way, let me just take a second.
Canon. The Mike O'Mara Show is a proud service of Canon.
This is another camera stand here. Getting all my secrets today.
What, did you buy that at the art show?
Yes, I did. Right next to the Brooks Robinson Pipefitters Union statue.
The venereal disease, yes. Aluminum. Mike,
yes.
Sometimes announcers, even during preseason baseball, they misinterpret what the other guy's saying.
So good start for the Twins here in the fourth inning. You ever seen Buck with his pants down? No. Like in shorts? No, like he doesn't have his, no socks showing. Ah, I see what you're saying. So,
run it one more time. That's worth it.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I like that.
That's what I thought immediately.
So, good start for the Twins here in the fourth inning. You ever seen Buck with his pants down? No. Like in shorts? No, like he doesn't have his, no socks showing. Ah, you know, I see what you're saying. So,
do you know the announcer?
No, I don't.
Because that, I'm not blaming the guy that reacts to it. I'm blaming the guy that said it. It's totally said wrong.
You don't
say it with his pants down.
But they both sound the same.
Yeah, I haven't, but I'm sure great balls.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a Buck with a rager?
It was Glenn Perkins.
Perkins.
You made a fortune in pie.
Right. And what's the DJ app again?
Baseball DJ.
Baseball DJ. Thank you for remembering that. That's great.
Let's close with this, Mike. I know you're always calling me on the phone. Always. And I pick up the phone. And
I love chatting on the phone with you.
Well, everybody, but I think we have something special.
Yes.
And you always say, Rob, and I say, yes. You say, how do you think Neanderthals sounded when they talked?
Oh, good. Oh, good, good, good.
And
good,
I said, well, you know, you're the mimic. I can't do it.
I want to hear
And you said, well, can you find me a video clip? And I said, I can.
Okay.
And we'll close with this. This is the way Neanderthals talked.
My male human voice, count over three.
One, two, three.
Just pitch up your voice.
One, two, three.
Let's just add a bit of nasal now.
One, two, three.
Now, the other thing that would be happening, which would actually increase that quality, is a very heavy skull that seems to pull down into the throat there. Now, speak.
One, two, three.
Now, let's make a sound. Just let's make a huge R.
Mike, that's science.
Thank you. Tomorrow, we will have an interview with the Neanderthal man.
Neanderthal man.
We'll do that. Neanderthal. Neander Charlie. We will do that tomorrow on the show. Hey, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you want the Holy eggs week to be flying on the Eggtacular, we are going to need you to go to the Mike O'Mara Show store. We're ready to go. We are not pulling out, so to speak. We are going to do it. So far, the total before airtime today, Josh will be breaking seven eggs on his head, me seven, and Rob six. I, you know, this is just my personal request. Can we get Rob to the 10 mark? That would be very, very exciting.
I believe there's 12 in a box.
12 in a box.
Yeah, 12 in a box.
Dozen, if it was an even dozen for all of us. Look, we need your participation. This is really our April Fool's Easter fundraiser, and we need as much help as we can. Yes, Rob?
I'm pointing to Josh. Josh needs more eggs. Yeah.
Oh, after all, it's Maundy Thursday.
It is. Holy Week. And that guy likes eggs.
I can't do it. We'll see you tomorrow for Josh Spoke and Rob Spiewak. Bye, everybody.
I love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.